Okay, tonight we have a wonderful, exciting speaker that's going to share a testimony with us. But first, I just wanted to share with you that we have asked Stephanie Haas, and it is pronounced Haas. Everybody with me together. One, two, three. It's not Haas. Just, I've heard it. I'm just making sure that everybody knows how to pronounce it. I've heard it mispronounced. It's Haas. Yes, okay. She has to get up here and talk. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm just making sure everybody knows. But we are so excited because she is going to join Inspire Leadership. And we're very, very happy. She is going to be all things tech-related, communication-related. She is going to whip us into shape is what she's going to do. So we're so excited about having her join us. And so she and Michael, right back there, everybody wave to Michael Haas. He is our sound guy and has been faithfully our sound guy. She's usually up there. She's usually here, but she's up there hiding behind the glass. But tonight, if y'all look up there, everybody wave to Marley up there. And is Amber up there too? Wave to Amber. I think, like, this is Marley's first time to come, almost. Maybe second. I don't know. I know. And then she's up there. But we're thank you for helping Amber tonight. We appreciate it. I mean, helping Amber, but helping Stephanie. Stephanie was going to run back and forth all night. And I'm like, I don't think that'll work. So we're so happy to have her join us. Now, how long have y'all been here at New Life? 7 years. Wow. And you took 1 year. Was it 1 year? 10 months off and went to Boston, Baltimore. I'm not getting my facts right. It's a bee city, that's right. And Amber went with them. Are you going to share any of that, any of your story? Okay, and so you were getting your master's while you were there? Thank you. She was getting her master's in elementary education. I'm just making this up as I go. No, I'm just kidding. That's right. And she won Miss USA. So. Come on up. Come on up. So now that I've totally embarrassed myself and you, we're excited to have you. And you're going to sit. I love it. She's like creating this new environment. So, and would you like this?
I need that.
Okay, go ahead and sit down. I don't want you to spill your coffee. So give her a nice warm up welcome again.
Hi. I was in college getting my bachelor's, and we were trying to figure out what to do next. So I was talking to a professor, and I said, okay, I'm doing behavior analysis with substance abuse. No one's doing that. So I went to him and said, what can I do? And he's like, well, I have a friend. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, but you would have to move. And I was like, oh, sure. Where are we going? He doesn't know me. I like to move. Growing up, we moved every year, year and a half. So I get a little antsy. So now I tell Michael about every year or so, we're either redecorating or we're moving. Your choice. It's a lot cheaper to paint. And so we're like, okay, well, we'll pray about it and figure out what to do. Turns out I went home and Googled this friend. He was one of the top people at Johns Hopkins who you could, there's no one else doing what he's doing in the entire field, using behavior analysis with substance abuse. And so I got to work with his team doing an experiment on, helping adults with cocaine and heroin addiction. So I got to be on the streets in Baltimore and the not nice areas, asking people, hey, do you want to stop and work instead and earn some money and we'll see what happens? And so I got to do this for 10 months and then came home and now I'm a mom. And so that wasn't really what I was planning to talk about, but I kind of, you know, I actually wrote out my story 3 times trying to figure out what I was going to be sharing tonight. And it's really hard to pinpoint an exact spot, an exact time to talk about. So I more just wanted to share what exactly we learned in the process instead of going over the details of what I did and what we did. So Michael said, well, you should sit up there with a table and some coffee and have some coffee talk. So it's tea instead, but it still works, and this is my comfort zone. So I'm just going to kind of go over some things, and it might be a little choppy, so bear with me. I might jump around a little. My thoughts kind of do that anyway. So I'll try and make it as clear as possible. Since this, oh, hi. She's taking a picture of me.
She's like, wait.
Hi.
Hold on.
So this is a total side note, but I do oils with Mare. And we had a Zydo scan, and that kind of scans your system to see what oil you need. Well, my top oil was humility. Which I think has only made things worse. I'm like, I don't know if this is actually helping or not, but I feel really good about myself. I'm wonderful now. I don't know why I needed that. So, anyway, like I said, jump around a little. So, we, through the last 2 years, it has been wonderful, but it's been some of the hardest times of our life the last couple years. We've had a difficult baby. Financial issues, career changes, things like that. But what I wanted to focus on was just the awesome things that God has done for us, because he has done some amazing things. And one of the things is he's shown me how much he loves me. And, you know, I grew up in church, and I grew up singing Jesus Loves Me, but I never really knew how much he did. And coming back from Baltimore, you know, I faced some big questions in my life of what I was going to do now. Every door was getting slammed in my face, and I had no idea what was going on. And so I actually borrowed a book from Pastor Jim. I don't know where it is. It was a wonderful book that really helped me. And it actually kind of just went over the story of David. And, you know, going through his life, it really showed me what love meant and what God's love means. You know, God had a plan for David at a young age that he was going to become king. And God knew that from start to finish that David was going to be an adulterer. He was going to be a murderer. He was going to do some awful things, but that he was going to be king. And if you know David, he was a friend of God. He went after God's heart. And so I'm like, what? How can you be such a bad person, but be such a friend of God? And so, I don't know about you, but I like to, I'm always afraid to make people mad or hurt someone's feelings or do something wrong. I'm always trying to make everyone happy. And the same way was with God. And I was always trying to do the right thing and be the good child and never get in trouble and do all the right things. And so, reading that story, I was like, wow. He loves me. It doesn't matter. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's the end of my story is, even with all these things. And he knows my heart, and he knows that I love him even if I make mistakes. And so seeing that, it just opened my eyes to how much he loves me, and it made me love him all the more. And then the other thing, the first time that I was supposed to speak last month, and take a drink. Cliffhanger. I should have inserted pauses. I didn't. I have Michael back there telling me if I'm going too fast. So the first time I wrote out my message or my testimony, what I was going to speak on last month, I actually sent it to someone who I haven't even met. It's a friend of Marley. So she and I met via Facebook. And she comes to our church. She might be here. Megan? No? Okay. We still have not met each other. So I was like, well, I'm going to send it to her. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know my story. I want to see what she has to say about what I want to say. And so one thing she asked me was, how do you talk to God? And I was like, oh, well, I didn't even think about talking about that. So I wanted to share just briefly tonight how I talk to God. And it's nothing grand. But my best quiet times are in the car. I used to commute to Irving. And so I had like a 45-minute drive. And at the time, I was working at a brain injury facility. That was one of the worst places I've ever worked. And unfortunately, it wasn't because of the patients. It was because of the staff and things that were happening inside that facility, which ultimately is why I left. So I heavily relied on my times with God in the car. I had a 45-minute drive. I cranked up the music. I worshiped. I prayed. I cried out loud. I sat and I just listened for him. And we had some of the most amazing talks, and he gave me just the most peace and assurance that I've ever had in my life. And so one of the songs is one that we're going to be doing tonight called Broken Hallelujah. And it just talks about, you know, God's plan for us doesn't always look like how we have it in our heads. And it doesn't really even make sense. But as long as we trust him and follow him, that it's going to be okay. And that he's going to turn our beauty into ashes. And so that we're singing it tonight because that was just really important to me. And one thing I realized, too, is, you know, as children, we don't always get to know what our Father is doing. We don't always get to know all the information. That's hard for me. I like to know. I like to have it all in my head. I like to plan it all out. I like to have a spreadsheet. It's all categorized and looks perfect. And so that's hard. But as children, we don't get to know what our parents are doing. And now that I'm a parent, I'm seeing that for my kids. And it's really hard, especially for my son, Evan, to not see what's going on. And so it's just really important for us to have that time. Hold on, I lost my spot. I'm doing really good not reading. The most important thing I can tell you about communicating with God is that you have to stop talking. That's hard. I'm really good at talking. Michael is like, you're going to be fine tonight. All you have to do is hold the mic and talk. I'm like, oh, okay. But stopping to talk and actually hear him, I'm like, oh, okay. So one time I woke up from a nap and I heard God's voice just telling me, I've got this. It's going to be okay. And, you know, he got me at the right spot when I had just woken up, so I didn't even have a chance to start talking. Sometimes he has to do that. So there's that. That's page one, if you're wondering. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is just how we saw him provide for us. And this was really cool. So we've, over the years, kind of accumulated some debt. I told you we had financial issues and nothing out of the ordinary. Medical bills, student loans, you know, just normal stuff. And so we were finally getting to a place, you know, the boys were getting bigger and we were getting settled into things. And I'm like, all right, we're going to tackle this and we're going to get done with debt. Well, this was January 2012, so 2 years ago, and Michael was working from home, normal day, and he got a call to say, hey, you need to come in for a meeting. Well, it turns out that meeting was with HR and his boss, and he was getting laid off after 10 years. This, to say lightly, it turned our world upside down. I mean, we had already always joked that the only way he was going to leave that place was if he had gotten a job that he didn't apply for or he had been laid off. Because it was just that, it was a nice, secure, there's no reason to go anywhere. But God turns beauty into ashes. And so, you know, thankfully, he had been there for almost 10 years. And so we had a good severance. And we were able to live off of that, and we really started relying on God. It's like, okay, we have to. And he was able to show us how to reshape our spending. and what areas we could lower things and what areas we could change, you know, move things around. And then the crazy thing is once the money started to run out, all of a sudden a job would pop up. And so if you look at our budget, because I actually did this, if you looked at our budget, each time one job ended, another one started. And when that one was done, another one started. And when that one was done, another one started. Until last September, he got a job making really good money. And we're like, all right, this is it. We had been told by some people that, you know, the floodgates are about to open for you guys. And y'all are going to be blessed beyond belief. And we're like, okay, sweet, bring it on. We're ready for that. And I need to not look at my paper because then I get lost. So he had gotten this job, and we're like, all right, we're good. This is what's going to happen. So then in December, we were having a date night and kind of trying to talking about what to do for school. Evan is our oldest, and he's about to start kindergarten. So we're like, we should probably actually talk about what we're going to do with him. And at the end of the conversation, we realized, oh, okay, we're going to homeschool. This was never my idea. Never my idea. I lose my patience with them. I get tired of them. Some days I don't even like them, let alone spend my day with them every single day teaching them. So, but thankfully, I don't have to do it by myself. God has it in his hands. And so we realized, okay, well, if I'm going to homeschool, then Michael's going to have a job with insurance full-time. Like, it has to be a stable job. I have to quit, which means we have to be able to rely only on his income or me get a part-time job. And we really need to lower our expenses and pay off debt. So Michael had this wonderful job. We're like, all right, you know, we're making this great money now. This is it. This is how we're going to do this. And so we're moving along, starting to make our plans, starting to really attack things. And then January comes along again, this past January, and he comes home from work and says, my contract was ended. I have until the end of the month to find something else. We're like, are you kidding me? My paper. Thank you. We're like, are you kidding me? Here we go again. Like, I thought we were done. Like, we were done. Like, this was it. You said this was it. Like, we're supposed to be homeschooling now. We're supposed to be doing this. What's happening? But, you know, God told us in December. He knew that Michael was going to lose his job in January. It wasn't a surprise to him that this happened. And so every choice we made from there on was as if I was going to quit in August. We were going to lower our expenses. We were going to pay off our debt. And Michael was going to get a job. It didn't look possible. It looked completely impossible, but it wasn't up to us, and it didn't matter what it looked like because we knew what God had told us. And so every choice from that moment on was that we were going to do this. Pause. Tastes good. Okay, where am I in my story? So this time around, you know, we didn't have the severance. We didn't have, we had some money in savings, but we didn't have the same, like, last time it's like, okay, well, it'll be fine. We'll get a job. No big deal. This time I was like, okay, well, we really have no idea where we're going from here. But hold on. I totally lost where I was at. Sorry. I knew it was going to happen. So, see, there's something important I wanted to say, and now I don't know where it is and what I was going to say. I know. Oh, well. So what I had done with our debt was, I was like, okay, we're going to stop. I'm going to stop in August. I'm going to quit then. I separated out our credit cards and credit into phases. So, like, phase one was, medical bills and store cards. And then phase two was paying off our cars. And then phase three was the bigger stuff, like my student loans and things like that. And so my plan was, okay, we'll pay off phase one and lower our bills. By then, it'll be totally fine. Well, God had other plans. It was just amazing. From January till April, in those 4 months, not only did we pay off half of our debt, half in 4 months, we also lowered our bills by $500. So it's like literally this whole time, it was kind of like just being on a boat, sitting in there with no oars, nothing to row with, and just sitting and watching God work. We had nothing to offer. All we could do is sit back and watch and see what happens. And so God set us on this path, and we didn't waver. We knew what we were doing. We knew what God was doing, and we just kept going. And we trusted him. And it was the first time in my life that I actually saw his plan come to fruition. It wasn't just a story that I was being told. It wasn't just my wishful thinking of what I was wanting to happen. We were actually seeing it. So it's now August. We have all this debt paid off. We're not done, but we're in a whole lot better place than we were. Michael now has a job full-time with insurance, and I'm not working anymore. And we're starting school in a few weeks. And it's just so cool. I'm like, wow, you do know what you're doing. And I'm terrified beyond belief. Like I said, this wasn't my plan. This wasn't what I wanted to do for school. I figured we'd do private school or something. But God is the one who called me here. God is the one who's going to get me through this. So it doesn't matter if I'm scared. It doesn't matter if I'm worried, because he's the one who brought me here, and he's the one who's going to get me through it. So, and not every day was easy. And I remember having some really rough days. And thankfully, I have my sister who really helped me. And she gave me a picture. And she said, you know, yeah, I'm just going to read it because I wrote it down really good. She goes, you know, God is our rock upon which we stand. But sometimes we don't always get to see the whole rock. Right now, you're standing on what looks to be a small stone, not big enough to carry anything. All your problems are clouding your vision. And all you can see is that small stone. And it doesn't feel like it's strong enough. So I had to make a choice. I had to stop looking at what I couldn't see, and stop looking at my problems, and stop looking at all the bad things and all this money that we owed, and that Michael didn't have a job, and that, okay, I'm homeschooling, now what? I had to stop looking at all that, and I had to look to God, and I had to look to what he had already done for us, not just what he had to come. And he had done so much for us already. So, and once I stopped looking at all the stuff, all the clouds, and all the clouds got pushed away, that small stone that I was standing on was this giant boulder. And it's this huge thing that can carry anything. And God is that rock, and he is strong enough. So, I love that. And God not only blessed us financially, but he also blessed us with the people that are in our lives. And we have some of the most amazing friends and the best church family. There is not anything bad I can say about this place. And one thing we had to do was we really had to lean on people, which wasn't easy. We had to learn how to ask for help, and that it was okay to do that. Growing up, that's not what we did. You stood your ground, and you kept going. You don't need people. You know, it's nice to have help. But we're used to being the helpers, not the ones getting help. And I was reading James, and he talks about the body of the church. And I got this picture of the human body and how naturally everything flows. Not like us. When we need help, we feel guilty that we can't handle it ourselves. We think about asking for help, or we ask other people if they think we should ask for help, but we don't actually do it. Especially women, we're really bad at this. But with the body, if something needs something else, it just happens. There's no asking. It's not like the brain's like, oh, I need blood. Hey, kidney, you think it's okay if I ask the heart for some blood? No, it just happens. It's just done. And Satan is the one who puts these thoughts and these lies into our head that we're not good enough, that we're not strong enough, that we need to do it ourselves, that we should be, if we're this mighty Christian, then we should be able to handle it without other people. But that's not the way God called us, and that's not the way God formed us. He formed us the way the body is formed, and then it's all naturally flowing. And if one area needs something, then another area can help. And then there's a specific person or people to fill that need, whether it's a shoulder to cry on or a few bucks for groceries. And you know, these last few years have hurt, and it's like a broken arm. That pain was real. But it's how we react to that pain that defines our character. And God can use anything, and nothing is wasted. Everything you do can be used for the glory of God. My hope for you tonight is that you're able to take even a small piece of what I've said and share it or apply it to your life. I do feel like that each of the things that I shared was meant for a different person. It wasn't delivered in a pretty package, and it might have been a little choppy, but I pray that you will take what I've learned and apply it to your walk with God. So thank you for listening.